And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
This is your RBLR Rays podcast. I'm your host, Zach Dobble, and my co-host, Pat Davenport. Pat, how are you doing this Saturday?
I'm doing okay. It's a landmark day in Rays history. Well, not in Rays history, but it is an annual big day for the Rays. Did you know about it?
I did. Is this the first day that we clinched the playoffs in franchise history? Is that correct?
No, it's nowhere near that sophisticated or reset. it's Mark Topkin, Tampa Bay Times poll day, where he asks for your MVPs, correct. Disappointments, etc., etc. Have you partaken in the Topkin poll?
I have partaken in the Topkin poll. His questions were, if you are a fan, it was MVP, most disappointing, biggest surprise, and traded player we missed the most. So what were your responses to that, if you've already responded?
Yeah, I did. You added a sneaky fourth question in this year. I think that's a new one.
That is a new one. Mm-hmm.
But you always ask MVP, surprise, and disappointment. For me, MVP this year, I saw a lot of people saying Yandy or Bilal, which is like totally valid. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's Zach Littell. It can't be a hitter. Not with this Rays lineup. It can't be a hitter who's the MVP of the season. And the only guy that's been like good and like for the most part healthy all year on the staff has been Littell. So for me, he's been the most consistent and good player on the team. So he's my MVP.
Yeah, he was mine as well. We'll talk about if that's, you know, what we're going to, I reserve the right to change my mind before we decide this for the RBLR season awards. I reserve the right to change my mind. But at the moment, I feel like when you look at a guy who's pitched 150 plus innings, maybe he's going to get to 160. We'll see. And pitched to a 3.56 ERA coming off of a year where he transitioned from a bullpen arm to a starter to do what he's done. It's not only has it been, you know, awesome to see it happen, but it was necessary for any semblance of competitiveness to come out of this Rays team this year. So I don't think it can be understated. You talk about most valuable. Who's been more valuable in his role, what he's done, than Littell? I don't think anybody.
No. And in fact, this might be a good time to bring up the Rays WAR leaderboard, I suppose.
I think it would be.
And let's have a quick check. Who is the Rays leader in WAR? Let's go by Fangraphs WAR in 2024. Hold on. I should have had this to hand, really. But so currently on the Rays, leading position players in WAR, we have Yandy, I believe.
It's got to be Yandy.
Yeah, Yandy with 1.9 FWAR. No. Yeah, 1.9, which is not a lot for your best position player.
Bilal's got to be right behind him, right? Probably.
Bilal is okay. So actually, I've scrapped that because it was currently going off people who had enough plate appearances to be qualified. Actually, if we don't count Paredes, who actually accrued more WAR in his time with the Rays than any Ray to date so far, on the position player side, it's Caballero. Caballero's got the most FWAR this season.
I can buy that because defense too. So that I can buy that.
He's got 2.2. Brandon Lau and Jose Siri have 2.1. Then Yandy with 1.9. If we go to the pitching side, what do you know? The pitching leader in FWAR is Zach Littell, 2.1 FWAR. Then Eflin with 1.8, and then Pepio, and then Uceda. And you said he's only pitched 39 and two-thirds innings.
Yeah, a lot of value just that short amount of time. So that means that Littell then is he tied with Caballero?
Leading, or is he a little 0.1 WAR below Caballero.
So I mean, we'll save some of this for the offseason because I think it is a good discussion. But there is a discussion to be had about position players versus pitching as far as value for the team. Who did you have as your biggest disappointment?
I hate doing this one. I hate answering this question. For me, it was a tie. between two, and it was the Randy Yandy slow start combo for me, because they were kind of the anchors of the offense coming into the year, and then they just were completely non-existent in April and for a lot of May as well. And that's what kind of started us on this trajectory, that maybe they would still be, like, Randy could still be on the team, Paredes could still be on the team if we started hotter. But because we kind of floundered in April and May, not entirely because of, but in part because of Randy and Yandy completely like falling off a cliff and having like the worst cool spells of their career at the same time. That was my disappointment.
Yeah, I had Josh Lowe as mine only because I had such high expectations for him. I thought he could contend for an all-star spot, honestly, coming off of last year. I thought with another year moving forward, with the adjustments he made to his swing and with his new weighted bat, that helped him out a lot. I thought, you know, that he was going to take that next step, which I thought was going to be an all-star. Obviously, the oblique kind of killed that completely. And that was unfortunate to see a season that I thought was so promising get killed like that. For the next one, which I think this one might be pretty like universal for Rays fans. I had a tie, which is most pleasant surprise, by the way. Uceda and Montgomery. I had Uceda is the biggest surprise, probably, but I did not expect Montgomery to acclimate to being a relief pitcher so quickly and so well, and to now have be on the major league squad and doing what he's doing at the major league level was surprising. I if you had told me this happened in 2025, I would maybe be shocked. But the fact that he did it so quickly and now is up and performing well, I was surprised by it and really, really glad to see it, because we haven't developed a whole lot of relief pitchers recently coming up and through the minors the way that, you know, Montgomery has. So it's fun to see him come all the way up and start to impact the major league roster.
Yeah, I mean, Montgomery looks really, really promising, and we'll talk more about him and his spot on the team as we go on. But Uceda, I mean, the fact that he's the fourth most valuable pitcher on the team, actually the third most valuable pitcher on the team according to FWAR that's still on the team, in under 40 innings is just like insane, really. Like, he's more valuable than Taj Bradley according to FWAR, which is wow. Who would have saw that coming? I remember we were excited about Uceda in spring, because we noticed he was putting up a lot of strikeout numbers.
Yeah.
And we were like, whoa, that seems pretty good. But like, we don't really know much about this guy, so he'll probably just chill in the minors. And then he came up, and oh my goodness.
Yeah, wow. he came up. We said, hey, that guy's kind of cool. And they sent him back down, and we were kind of like, well, why'd you do that? I like that guy. And when he came up again, he never went back down, and you can't send a guy like that back down. It's. I will double back and say that it seems like he's whatever happened, and with his little blow up has, you know, resolved itself, and he seems to be, you know, back on the right track. Hopefully, I don't want to see that him get taken down for a reason like that. So hopefully that continues. So the last one that you thought, and I kind of agree, is definitely a little bit of a curveball, is traded player who has missed the most. Who'd you have?
Surely there's only one answer to this question, right? Randy.
I don't know. Randy.
Like, surely it's Randy. If anyone's like, we miss Jason Adam the most.
Like, you're lying.
Maybe I could see a case for maybe people saying Paredes, but like, it's really got to be Randy, right? Just because of what he meant to the team and the connection he had with the fan base. I can't see it being like anyone else.
Yeah, my answer, maybe it's not a serious answer. My answer is Willy Adames, because, and it's because when you look at the trade for him, I mean, Drew Rasmussen has given us some great innings, and you know, so he's been good, and obviously JP Fire Hydrant was great when he was here, it's hard to watch him hit 30 bombs and 100 RBIs. Nothing against Taylor Walls, and maybe a little bit Taylor Walls, but nothing against Jose Caballero. I like Cabby, but it's hard. And maybe he would have never figured it out in the trough, but maybe he could have got LASIK, and we could have figured something out, changed the lights. I don't know, but that was, you know, especially considering where we are with our shortstop position because of what has transpired with Wander Franco. That one stings a little bit, because I definitely think that is a trade that. We generally don't grade trades until long after the fact. you could maybe make the argument that it was a both sides one, but I think it's fair to say that the Rays lost that one.
Yeah, but it's not because of any of the people involved in the trade. Right?
Yeah.
Which is like maybe the weirdest way to look at a trade, but like if the plan was like if we lived in any of the other million multiverses where number five was not who he was, and was just a baseball player who was like not a horrible, horrible person potentially, then maybe that would have been like looked upon more generously. But yeah, there's not a day that goes by without me missing Willy Adames. I missed him even when we had a fully functioning Wander Franco on the team.
He was kind of like the energy, if you're a newer fan, the energy that Jose Siri kind of brings to the dugout, Willy Adames was that guy before. And he kind of led the clubhouse in as far as a rah-rah type of way. Very well loved by everybody. It was really sad to see him go. I'm happy for him. He's going to get a bag this offseason, and good for him. He's earned it. But I'm just really sad to see him go. One thing I'm not sad to see is all of you who are watching. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate everyone who has kind of watched through us all season long. It's definitely been not the season we anticipated. We appreciate everybody being here all season long who loves the Rays and just has that passion. If this is your first time joining us, thank you. If you enjoy the show and you want to let us know, drop a like. That really helps us out. Let us know you enjoy the show. If you got something to say, if you want to tell us what your Toppers season awards were, you just drop it in the comments. We'd love to hear it. And if you want to help us out even a little bit more because you really like what we're doing, drop us a follow, drop us a subscribe on the social medias and on YouTube, because not only does that help us, but that helps you because you know when we're going live, you know when we're doing stuff, you know what's going on, and you just get a little bit more of us. So we appreciate everyone who has joined us all season long and everybody who's new. This show, we're going to have a good show. We're going to talk about the week that was in Rays baseball. We're going to talk about the playoffs, where we stand. It's not over yet. This is what I said last week. If we get to this week and we're not out of it, I'd be happy. We're not out of it yet. We're still fighting. We're going to talk about some of the players that are making moves for 2025. And what that kind of what their movement and how they're playing in these last couple weeks, how that could affect the next season. So looking back over the week that was, it was kind of, I don't want to say disappointing. It was a little disappointing because I thought we had a real chance to win that series against the Guardians. And I thought we had a chance to sweep the Red Sox. We didn't do either one. What are your thoughts on the end of the Guardians series?
I mean, we definitely did have the opportunities. I'm running out of ways to say, hey, we were in every game, but we went 500 again. Like, and I'm running out of ways to say, oh man, like the pitching's really good. Imagine if we could score like 3 runs a game.
Yep.
It's more of that again. The series finale against Cleveland was a bit of a disappointment because Bradley actually delivered a pretty good start, all things considered, kind of a tough luck loss there. And then against the Red Sox as well, that went right down to the wire. And again, just some runs, like our run would have been nice. Story of the season. Do you want to know a depressing stat that I learned yesterday?
Let's do it. Just kill my mood completely.
I have to give shout out to Evan Klosky, who does some sports radio. He was the one that tweeted this out. If the Rays in the month of September won all their games that they conceded 2 runs or fewer in, they would be 1 game back of a playoff spot.
Oh, that hurts my feelings.
Because we have 4 losses this year that are either 2-0 or 2-1. And we're 5 games out of a playoff spot.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll get to the Blue Jays, but like, it's not like the offense really did much against the Blue Jays and we still won. And in fact, we've only scored 5 runs over our past 3 games, but we've won 2 of them.
And that's because we only allowed 2 runs over the last 3 games. Over this week, we allowed 7 runs over 5 games. And we did technically not. We did go 500. We did go whatever 3-2 is statistically wise. 600, I think that's what that is.
600.
600. So that you know, that's an improvement. And I got to say, I wasn't able to watch last night's game live, but because I was at a concert. But when I went in, I saw the score was 1-0, and I'm like, that's not going to hold up. And I turned my phone off and went in. And when I got back out, I was like, wait a minute, that we won 1-0. Okay. And it just goes to show you how great the pitching staff is. We've talked about it ad nauseum. We won't belabor it, but the pitching staff is really, really good. And I think that's why the tone, I mean, some people that maybe watch this show may say, how are you guys still so positive after how, you know, bad the season has been? And I think the reason is because if you look at this team, it's not like if we looked at this team and they were getting blown out and they were like, they just seemed like they had no fight and they just, you know, it was just kind of meandering into the off season, I might feel one way. But this team clearly has a pitching staff that is well equipped to go into 2025. There's some position players that are starting to kind of play up to what we hoped they could be in the back half of the season that give me hope for next year. And that's kind of why I can't really be that down on it. I mean, also, we're still in a playoff race as kind of, you know, by strings as it is. We are still in a playoff race in September. So, you know, you can't hate that too much. And the future is bright. And we've said that a lot, too. But it's really hard for me, at least, to get totally down on this team because I can see the good things. And there are things to be excited about with this team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think coming into 2025, like, we don't need to sign a pitcher because we've got two-time All-Star Shane McClanahan and perennial Cy Young candidate Shane McClanahan joining this staff that already is maybe the best in the league this month, I would say. I'd say we probably have the best pitching staff in the league this month. And I think coming into 2025, health permitting, we have a top five complete pitching staff, rotation and bullpen combined, in baseball. The problem is we got a bottom five offense. But you can build on a good pitching staff. You can absolutely build on a good pitching staff. And the Rays historically have made successful teams out of a good pitching staff and then a hope and a prayer in the lineup. Like the Joe Maddon Rays were kind of like that, especially after like Crawford and Pena left. It was kind of like Trey Longo is hitting with runners on and like otherwise Shields, Price and Hellickson and those guys, Alex Cobb, will keep you in the game.
Yeah, and so, you know, the question really is, are we going to add anybody offensively in the offseason? And we're going to talk about this a lot in the offseason. And will some of these guys that we're talking about later in the show that we think are starting to make strides do that for full seasons next year and be a part of this offense being successful? So, lots to see. Do you have any other thoughts on the Boston series?
I thought we played really well for the most part. I thought we pitched them really well, especially. It's just one of those where if we came in like a game or two a bit higher in the standings, like then we'd be feeling like if we didn't get swept by Philly somewhere, or like if we managed to like actually win a series against the White Sox in April somewhere, then like you'd feel like the momentum is way better than it is. Cause like there's, you know, we could still take, you know, there's no reason why we couldn't succeed against the Blue Jays this weekend and have a good couple series against the Tigers and Red Sox to finish the season and then finish two games out. And then we'll have to ask all the questions of like, damn, we will like, which two losses can we pin the lack of playoffs on? I think that could totally happen. But one thing I will say is I'm really bullish on the pitching staff because like, look how well it's performing, but also like none of it feels like anyone's overperforming apart from maybe Uceda.
Yeah.
Like everyone feels like they're either performing as what you'd expect them to, or like they've still got a bit more room to grow.
Yeah, especially when you look at a guy like Pepio, he is performing fine. He's doing a good job, and he's had some really nice starts here and there. And I think this is not his ceiling, what we're seeing right now. And he's still a really, really good pitcher. Littell, this might be what he is, but what he is great. And I don't need him to be better. If he is exactly the same as he is this year, next year, I have no complaints. That is what we need from him. So if he can do that again, then that's great. And obviously, you know, Springs is out. The news on him is he probably won't be back this year. And that's okay. We don't really need him to be back. It's just good that he got some reps in, you know, before we go into next season, because he's going to be a big part of that rotation. But you're 100% right. Nobody's overperforming, and nobody is in danger of getting too old to not be able to perform well. There's nobody that we're like, hey, man, you know, we sure hope that, you know, he doesn't actually, you know, look 37 next year and have a bad year. Like, everybody's young. Everybody's got room to grow. And I think that's why it's such an exciting staff to watch, because there's nobody that I'm like, I don't know, man, there might be some regression next year. Everybody looks good.
Yeah, nobody's going to be even 30 next year on the staff. So we got a young staff. And can we give a quick shout out to the Pepio Immaculate Inning as well?
We should, and we can.
Yeah, I mean, you don't see them every day. It's the fourth in Rays history. Do you know the other three?
So one of them, oh man.
I know I'm always ready with these ones. I always have these ready to quiz for you.
Oh man, I thought I knew who one of them was, and I can see their face, but I can't think of the name. It was in 2017. I know that because I heard about it a bunch, but I do not know who it was. I can't remember.
It was Brad Boxberger.
Brad Boxberger.
And that was a fun one, a really fun one, because it wasn't your traditional Immaculate Inning.
That's right. It was not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He came in, bases loaded, nobody out, and then threw the Immaculate Inning.
Crazy.
The other two came from, we got Rafael Soriano, who did it in 2010. Mm-hmm. And the other came from Jose Alvarado.
Jose Alvarado.
In 2017. So there you go. They're the four Rays Immaculate Innings. And I feel like Pepio's got a couple more in him, because his stuff, when it's working, is just... His fast... They were like... weren't like eight of the nine pitches fastballs in that Immaculate Inning too?
Well, and it shows, again, when you think about what's his potential, he has crazy stuff, and he can have good command. And that is a dangerous combination with an electric fastball. You can locate that fastball where you want it. And the bunch of them were just up in the zone. If you watch the pitch tracking of like where he had a bunch of those fastballs up at the top of the zone, that is a deadly spot for a fastball, just above the strike zone with where his fastball plays. It's a deadly location. If he can maintain that location, he's going to be elite.
Yeah. And Tristan Casas and Connor Wong and Willy Abreu aren't like dud hitters. They're pretty good.
No, they're all. And like, if you go back and actually watch those at bats, it was not like, you know, man, that was kind of a questionable call. Like, it was swings and misses, and it was good locations.
Yeah. So big shout out to you, Ryan Pepio. I mean, do you have anything else you want to talk about from this week?
As far as the games, unfortunately, it's kind of the same story, different day. We've said it a million times. Played really well, didn't score enough runs. And the good thing, I think, is that when you look kind of forward as to what's left in the rest of the season, you've got, you know, none of the opponents that you're going to play. You play the Blue Jays for the next two games. I feel like those are winnable games. You play the Tigers, who, if you want to make the playoffs, you're going to have to beat the Tigers. That's just what it is. And then the Red Sox, who are also currently tied. I think they're tied with us. They were in front of us before, but I think they're now tied with us in the playoff standings. And so it's kind of who you'd like to be playing. I mean, maybe you'd like to play the Twins. But we got our shot there, and we weren't able to capitalize fully. But outside of, you know, maybe them and maybe the Mariners, you kind of get into play who you'd like to play. So, you know, as much as it could have been better, it could have been a better week, it was still a good week, and they're still in the playoff hunt.
Yeah, so technically, we're tied with the Red Sox. I mean, would you feel okay about the season? For some reason, even though it completely doesn't matter, I would feel better if we finish above the Red Sox at the end of the year.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
Mostly because I said they were trash to start the year, and they are not trash. And so it's going to look even worse for me if somehow we finish below them. So it'd be really great for my ego if we could finish above the Red Sox.
I think we can do it. You know, they've been on a real slide lately. We could ruin the Tigers' day. I mean, technically, we're still in it. We got five games out, and we have seven games left.
Well, yeah. And so the only thing, if we're talking about like, how could the Rays still make the playoffs? Obviously you got to sweep Detroit. You really need to sweep Toronto. And then you really need got to win that series versus Boston. That's
essentially just got to win out. You got to win out basically.
I mean, maybe you get, I maybe give them one loss versus Boston, but really you got to win out. Now, the one thing that I think is, you know, kind of gives us a chance is when you look at who the Twins are playing, right? They're playing the Red Sox, and obviously the Red Sox are still fighting for their season. And they've been weirdly like on this thing where they keep going back to 500, kind of the same way the Rays have. So something tells me they're going to find a way to fight their way back up to 500, and maybe they can do that against the Twins. They get a lucky series. You would think it's a lucky series versus the Marlins, but I almost wonder if that's like in football, we call it, and maybe this, I don't know if this is a thing in soccer as well, but you have like look ahead games where like you're playing somebody and the person you're playing next, you're really worried about. And so you don't take the game seriously. And then you get beat. Could they lose that series to the Marlins? Cause they're looking ahead to that last series against the Orioles that they know they need to win. Because the Orioles are also fighting somehow. They have slid so far. They are also fighting for a playoff spot.
It could happen. The sad thing is it's not in our hands. Even if we win out, we need some results to go our way elsewhere.
We do. But it's not the first time we've needed results to go our way elsewhere to make the playoffs. So it's not over yet.
Yeah, it's not over yet. It's not over till it's over. Currently, I think we're the Rangers are the team below us in the standings, Rangers and Blue Jays, and they've both been eliminated today. So
nice.
We're now we're next on the chopping block. So we got to get some wins to keep us from being eliminated for as long as possible. Ruin the Tigers' day, ruin the Red Sox day along the way.
Yeah, I'm still in the, I would just really, really love to have our last show for the regular season next week be still with like us a wild hope, because we're probably I haven't fully decided when we're gonna do the show next week, but if we do it on Saturday before the last two Red Sox games, it'd be really fun to do that show and be trying to talk like, oh, this has got to happen, and who's pitching for the Orioles and who's pitching for the Tigers, and that'd be fun. It would be fun to be able to do that.
That would be so fun, because it would be like 2011 all over again. Don't get my hopes up, Zach. You're gonna kill me.
I'm doing it. I'm sorry. I'm gonna get your hopes up. I am gonna give you hope, because we just need the Twins to continue to suck, which they have done for decades. So I think we can hopefully root on them, and then we need the Mariners to also still be flummoxing because they fired their manager, and then we need Detroit to get swept by us. So that's the path.
That's the path. What's our path to some better fashion, though?
It's a path that is remarkably simple, despite it being something that I think a lot of people wish, like, man, you know, I think I could use a wardrobe upgrade, and they don't know where to go. I've got a really, really easy path for you. It's shop.rblrsports.com, where you can get the best merch inspired by all your favorite Tampa Bay sports teams. There at shop.rblrsports.com, shirts, stickers, hats, we got it all there. You can use promo code Flappy, FLAPPY, for 10% off anything you want to get there. I would recommend it if you feel like you need to get on a path to improve your style. Go to shop.rblrsports.com, promo code Flappy, FLAPPY, for 10% off.
My sources are telling me, from my lack of American football knowledge, the Bucks got a really big win this past weekend against the Lions. And I think a good way to celebrate how good this Bucks team is to wrap him with a shirt. That's what I've been told.
I would 100% agree. I was unsure if they were going to be honest with you. I was not sure they were going to beat the Lions. They had a really, really nice, really gutsy performance. Defense played better than I thought they were going to. I'm not a Bucks fan personally, but I was impressed with their performance. And I'm curious to see how they do the rest of the season. They're going to have a tough fight in their division this year.
Yeah, what you said. I mean, I'm still learning the NFL. I've been watching a lot of Red Zone the past couple of weekends, so I'm starting to try and get a grip. And, you know, shout out Red Zone. It's great.
Yep. We're just going to not talk about my team and move on to Bat and Arm of the Week.
Yeah, Bat of the Arm of the Week. I think we had a few candidates for Bat of the Week, but we ended up coming to a consensus. And who is our Bat of the Week, Zach?
Our Bat of the Week is somebody that I think, have desperately wanted to be Bat of the Week for a while now, because we've always felt he had the potential. It's Jonathan Aranda. It's a guy that I don't know how long we've been talking about this guy for. And what do we always say? He's got the bat. Does he have enough glove to stick at the major league level? And can his bat come to the major leagues and play? and it has come and played. You know, he didn't have the highest WRC plus on the team this week, sitting at a 127. However, he did play a decent amount of at-bats, more than some of the other guys who had a higher WRC plus technically than him. And what I think, you know, obviously he hit the home run to win the game last night. So I think, I don't know how he doesn't have more value, because, you know, he won the game last night offensively for the team. But to me, it's about how he performed this week, which is great. But it's also about a guy that we need to see this kind of performance from. And he's finally starting to do it. And it's just really exciting to watch. And I'm intently watching every Aranda at bat for the rest of the season. He's the bat of the week.
Yeah. Yeah. Aranda makes me really excited about seeing better production from this team in 2025. Because if there's a path to regular at bats for him, which we can about over the offseason, whether that, how we make that possible. But if there's a path for regular at bats, I think 2025 is a year to be really excited about Johnny Aranda. It should have been this year, but he kind of got stung by a really serious injury that kind of derailed his year. But he seems fully back now and ready to do things, which is great. And I'm really glad that he's found his stride at the major league level, because he was waiting to do that for the better part of 2 years now.
Yep, and I hope that this is just the start of things to come for him. I think it is, because when you look at his, it's not like he's overperforming now at the major leagues. It's really, he's finally bringing the level of production that we saw at the minor leagues to the major leagues. And that's just exciting to watch.
For sure. For sure. Also, like, in a limited amount of at-bats, Taylor Walls and Jose Siri had good weeks as
they
well.
They did. Shout out
Jose Siri had a 308 WRC plus in seven plate appearances, but he hit a home run, drove in four. Josh Lowe had a decent week as well. Yandy as well. So, shout out to those guys.
Yeah, Siri also has got he scored a couple runs that were important in games. You know, he provides a lot of value. We talked about it earlier in the show. He's up there in the leaderboard for WAR, which you might not think. I mean, it's been a low year probably for, I mean, you really would like to see somebody that's in a 3-4 WAR type of, you know, position for a player, someone on the team. But he is high up on the leaderboard because of his defense and because he can provide value offensively. He maybe hasn't hit the expectations we were hoping he would hit, but he has been playing well. And it's good to see him continue to have good production. He went through a spat where he wasn't starting a whole lot, was maybe having some issues with motivation. And it looks like they've been able to clear that up, but he's kind of back to starting regularly, and we need him. So it's good to see.
Yeah, for sure. He's not going anywhere. I think the Rays are going to bet on him to bounce back and be the main center fielder next year for sure.
Yep. Completely agree. So who is the arm of the week?
Yes. We just talked about him a little bit. It was Zach Littell. He was great. He put up half a win in just one start.
Crazy.
Seven innings, no runs allowed, struck out seven, which is really nice as well. A FIP of 1.17 as well. So he was just completely locked in, doing the quintessential best possible outcome Zach Littell start. He was absolutely great. And led us to a victory that was, of course, much needed. He's been doing it all year, though. He's been our guy. He's been the guy we can rely on all year. And he really kind of captained the staff this year. But I want to give an honorable mention to Shane Baz, too.
Yes. Baz did also have a good start.
He's been racking up innings, Shane Baz.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it five straight starts of seven-plus innings now?
Well, and what's so good about that is it's not only good to see him going that deep into games, but that consistency and also just getting the innings at the major league level, coming back off of injury. That's really, really good to see. But speaking of innings, I have a question for you. Were you upset that Kevin Cash, and we're not talking about if this was the right move or not, were you upset that Littell was taken out after seven innings with only 75 pitches?
No. Because we have a really good bullpen. Okay. Like if we didn't have any good relievers, maybe I'd be like, this is actually lowering our win probability, but we have really good relievers that, you know, when you have time through the order penalty, if you've got good relievers, it's better to bring in a new guy late in the game, especially when it was a tight game. Okay. Which it was. And also we need him next year. We're playing for a long shot at the playoffs, but realistically, we're kind of gearing up for 2025. Why would we risk further injury to a crucial member of our 2025 rotation for an arbitrary stat that doesn't actually matter.
Because I want a complete game, Pat. I want a complete game. When's the last time we had a Rays complete game? It's been too long. I actually don't know when the last time. I should probably look that up. But I like – because – and you know why? It's because I just like it. It's not any reason that's statistical. It's not any – I just feel like we don't see it that much anymore. It's such a – like – complete games, when you look, it's so funny to look at like statistics for pitchers when you go back to like, if you ever just curious, you look back at Cy Young voting in previous years and you go back in years, you see that CG stat, there's like numbers in there. There's like numbers in the stat line of like multiple pitchers doing complete games. And it's kind of, and is it a good thing that maybe they're not pitching that many innings? Is it better for their arms? Probably. I'm not suggesting they should do it all the time, but I just like seeing it. I derive personal enjoyment from it, and I am just sad that we didn't get to see it because he was pitching really well, had a great pitch count. I think he could have got through in under 100 pitches maybe, and I'm just sad that it didn't happen.
Yeah, I actually don't have to hand when the last one was. I remember Yarbrough in 2018,
yes,
maybe 2019, mm-hmm, went 8 2/3 then got pulled.
I was so mad.
It was a rare Brian Anderson head loss as well in the booth. Mm-hmm. He was like, I'm going to need to take a walk.
Yes, I remember that too.
And then, like, there was an era where we had James Shields, like, you know, giving them out like their candy. I'm going to have to find out, but leave that with me. We'll come back to it.
We'll come back to it. I'm just sad because I like complete games, and I'm just sad that – because we're not – that was our best shot at one, I think, this year because of how well he was pitching. And I blame the Rays offense. If we scored a couple more runs, they probably would have left him in because objectively it was the correct decision to take him out of the game to win the baseball game. It was the correct decision. So if we could just put up like 3 or 4 more runs – Could have left him in there and let him get a complete game.
Yeah, you could have. Sad. But again, like, I just want to see a Ray. Who do you think is most likely to be the next Rays complete game?
Littell? 100%. Littell. Because, like, I think if we – because I'm messing around a little bit. But if we actually allowed, like, scored a couple more runs, if it was like a 6-0 game, right – and he's out there in the same spot, there's a chance if he's feeling good that they let him finish. And he's the kind of guy, because he induces soft contact, but he doesn't rely on strikeouts exclusively to get his outs. He's the type of guy that could throw a complete game. He is a better version of Ryan. And this is not anything to do with their arsenals or their, you know, anything else, except for the fact that they are Ryan Yarbrough and Zach Littell are guys that are good at inducing soft contact. And also can get strikeouts here and there and can also go deep in games. So he's a better version of Ryan Yarbrough. And I would really like to see him get a complete game because I think he's the best chance on this team of getting there.
Yeah. Apparently my sources are telling me that you won't believe this. The most recent Rays complete game that was 9 innings. Matt Andrees. In 2016 is what I'm currently...
That's a name I've not heard in a long, long time.
Like, of all the people to be the last Rays complete game, 2016. Let's see here. Ryan Yarbrough also pitched... My mistake. Ryan Yarbrough had the last complete game. It was in 2021
against the Yankees.
Yeah. What I got confused on was the Matt Andrees one was a complete game shutout. That was the last complete game.
Yes. That is a, that's what's so, like, he had the complete game shutout. It was right there.
He could have. I mean, there was also the Drew Rasmussen took a perfect game into the 9th.
Yes.
And he got the opportunity to do that.
Yes, he did.
But then he couldn't quite get there.
So shout out to Ryan Yarbrough, who we talked about a little bit. I don't know where he is now. I think he's probably good enough to be pitching.
I think he was with the Dodgers last I heard.
Yeah, I don't know what he's up to, but I always like watching him pitch. He had a kind of a fun delivery. So I hope he's having fun doing whatever he's doing, and maybe he'll pitch another complete game someday.
Of course, he got traded to the Blue Jays because it was like that weird trade where it was two former Rays.
Is he on the roster?
It was KK for Ryan Yarbrough at the deadline.
Are we going to see him like this series, or is he like in their minor league system?
Yeah, he played as recently as September 18th, so
we could see him. I would love to see Ryan Yarbrough. It would do my heart good to see Ryan Yarbrough again.
Would it?
It would. He wasn't that good, but I just liked him. So it would be, I would like to see him again.
That's good. That's completely fair enough. Okay. Miscellaneous things that I want to throw around. Richie Palacios should be back before the end of the year.
Yes.
That's good.
It is good. It'll be, and this kind of, and that's a really good thing to point out because it goes into kind of what I wanted to talk about as well of, when we look at the lineup going into next year, we've seen some guys kind of play their way into a lineup spot. Guys like Johnny DeLuca's had a really nice month of September. Guys like Aranda that we've been talking about. Palacios kind of played his way into the starting role earlier in the year. So that's a tough decision for the front office to make and for Kevin Cash and Eric Neander to make going into next year, because I think Palacios played well enough to be on the starting, you know, to be on the roster opening day 2025. But is he going to be? It's a crowded room when you talk about that utility man, DH, you know, type of position, especially because they're, when you look at Aranda and Palacios, they're both left-handed. That's a really interesting conversation going into next year.
Yeah, there's going to be some battles in spring, assuming we don't make moves elsewhere that kind of sort stuff out. Otherwise, we're going to see some battles. I think the fact that Palacios can play outfield and infield works in his favor, and actually can play like competent defense at those, as opposed to Aranda, where he's like okay at best. But the bat from Aranda has a higher ceiling, I would say, than Palacios.
Because
Palacios is a good on base guy. He's a good bat to ball guy. He's disciplined, but he doesn't really have tons of power. Aranda has that power potential. It's a tricky one.
It's hard.
What you prioritize. Who do you think then, out of Palacios, DeLuca, Carlson, who starts in left field opening day next year if we don't make a move?
It's tough because I think right away I would start, like if we're just thinking like who would I start over who, I would start Palacios over Carlson, 100%.
Okay.
So then you're looking at Palacios and DeLuca. To me, that's who I'm looking at.
DeLuca's a better defender.
DeLuca's a much better defender.
And has been on a bit of a heater with the bat lately.
Honestly, like I could see a scenario where they are both on the opening day roster, and it might depend what the handedness of the pitcher that is pitching opening day we face. Because I definitely see a scenario where they end up platooning out there, where you see kind of it, where it's been kind of Carlson and DeLuca that have been platooning out there. I could totally see a scenario where it's Palacios and DeLuca platooning out to start the season in the outfield. But it, what kind of throws a wrench into the mix there is when you start to think about what happens if Aranda's on the roster and Yanni's still on the roster and Bilal's still on the roster. Does Morel need to then play in the outfield some? That's where it starts to get really, really tricky really quickly to kind of piece it all together.
Do you risk Morel out there at third again? So you're not playing Caballero and Walls at the same time?
I'd really rather not. Because where are you going to play Junior?
Oh yeah, Junior's on the team.
He's really good. We've kind of been burying the lead. Junior's also been really, really good recently. Yeah. We haven't talked about him too much this episode, but he's also been excellent. He is 100% on the opening day roster. It's tough, man.
Oh yeah, so you got to lock Junior in at third.
Right.
Brandon Lau, if he's on the team, and I don't think it'll be because they don't pick up his option. I just wonder if like a team might throw in a good offer for him. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think it's more likely Yandy gets moved than Bilal.
I agree.
But if Yandy gets moved, it's simple. Aranda's our first baseman.
Yeah.
And then play on. But if I'm now starting to think that Yandy's like likely to be moved. If Aranda continues to play well, I think the Rays might like seriously consider looking for a good offer on Yandy.
Well, we know they listen on everybody, right? And they're going to continue to do that. And I think you're right that I do wonder if maybe like the asking price for Yandy goes down just a little bit, because of how well Aranda has played. Now, that being said, we have not seen a full season from Aranda that is anything close to what Yandy has done over the past several years. So I would not move on from him lightly, and it would need to be a haul. And what I think is kind of what I – this is something that I've been stewing on a little bit and haven't – not sure when I want to throw this take out there, but I'll kind of throw it out there. The minor league system for the Rays is kind of packed. So it doesn't really make sense for the Rays to trade for more prospects. But what if there was a team out there that really needed someone that had Yandy's skills but had outfielders to spare and had a really good outfielder that they were willing to trade, and we have infielders to spare, but we need an outfield lock. What if there's a – I don't really know. I haven't looked that deep into who that might be. But think about a trade that is Yandy and a prospect for a really good outfielder.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to have to like look deeper into it, but like I feel like teams that could do with like a first baseman that's really good, the immediate ones that come to my head are like maybe the Brewers, maybe the Mariners. I don't think we're going to be able to get Jack Centurio, unfortunately.
Any interest in Christian Yelich?
No.
No?
Not on the money he's on.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't think we're going to get Julio either, unfortunately.
Probably just straight for Randy back. Bring back.
So we'll have to have a think about it. But
we'll have a think about it.
There must be something out of there. Speaking of the Rays minor league system, the awards came out for the Rays minor league awards. The big ones are Trey Morgan was a minor league position player of the year, who is a prospect that I don't think gets enough love, really, just because he feels like he's overshadowed sometimes in the press and in the kind of pipeline articles by Xavier Isaac, who is also a prospect I really like. But Trey Morgan is the player of the year in the Rays minor league system, which had a lot of good performers. I mean, tell us, do you know much about Trey Morgan?
Well, what I think is really interesting is I would think most, like, you know, people that grade prospects, at least for right now, majority of them are grading Isaac higher than Trey Morgan. So it is really interesting to see the Rays say Trey Morgan is our MVP. Now, you know, he had a really good year, so that goes into it. And Isaac had a good year too. But, like, I think that says a lot about how the Rays feel about Trey Morgan. When you look under the hood, it's almost like too good to be true. He's got all the under the hood numbers are really, really good. He makes good swing decision. He's got power. I think he has a chance to be a real helium prospect this coming season. And we could see him climb up really, 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 really fast. And you'd be kind of like, well, where did he come from? We've known about him for a while. He's really good. And when you think about, we were just talking about Yandy, right? Trey Morgan profiles probably as a corner infielder, most likely maybe a first baseman DH type. So when you look at bringing a guy like that kind of up and through the system, if a guy like Yandy gets moved, it kind of opens up a spot for a Trey Morgan as he kind of moves up through the system. The target for him coming into the majors is probably 2026, be my guess. There's a chance he gets a cup of coffee next year if he moves up to AAA and does well. Not likely, but I could see him making an impact in the middle to back half of 2026. And I think he has a chance to be a real impact performer at first base. So keep your eye on Trey Morgan.
For sure. For sure. He's apparently a really good fielder at first base, I've been told.
Yes. He's an elite fielder at first.
And he's also got really good contact and like batting average skills. Ian Seymour was pitcher of the year as well.
Yes.
So congratulations to him.
Do you think we will see Ian Seymour in a Tampa Bay Rays uniform for more than one game next year?
Depends on health. Because we can't depend on health, I'll say yes. I think, yeah, he's been chilling in AAA, so I think he'll be ready to go. I think he'll be fighting for a roster spot. He probably won't get one. I think he's got he's going to have to see someone else really fall off or get traded or hurt to see a roster spot emerge for him. But I could see a world where maybe like he pips Taj Bradley if Bradley can't be consistent to open the year.
You stole my next question. Who pitches more innings for the Rays next year, Taj Bradley or Seymour?
I mean, bookie's favorite is probably Taj Bradley, but right. I think it's going to be closer than people think.
I wouldn't be surprised. It'll be that. That's we'll. In case you're wondering and you'd like more information about these prospects, stay tuned. You will receive it in the off season. We're going to do a breakdown of kind of what some of the prospects we've been excited about, what we've seen during this season. We got some stuff to talk about. You think we just haven't been noticing Chandler Simpson's 100 stolen bases? We're going to talk about it. Don't you worry. We're going to talk about it.
He won base runner of the year. Yes. As if anyone else was going to do
that. As if it was ever in doubt. We'll talk about it. You're going to hear about those prospects very, very soon.
Yes. All right. I think that's all we got. Have we got anything else that we need to talk about this week? Let's never lose until the end of the season.
Let's just not lose ever again. We've definitely said that. I kind of laid out the path. If you're just wondering how to make the playoffs, you better be rooting for the Orioles to figure it out. You better be an Orioles fan for the next because they play the Twins and I believe the Mariners in these coming. Or it's somebody else. It's two of the teams in front of us. I think it's the Mariners. Maybe it's the Tigers. I forget. I think it is
the Tigers. Well, they're playing the Tigers this weekend.
Yeah.
And then they're playing the Yankees, which is a big series for them. And yes. Then the Twins to close.
Yeah. Yes. We need the Tigers to lose a little bit. So we need the Orioles to play well against the Tigers. I don't care what happens versus the Yankees. And then we need them to ball out. What I really probably actually need for them is to have a bad series against the Yankees and need to win those last games against the Twins. That's what we need to have happen.
Gotcha. So stay tuned. Keep watching. There's still loads going on to watch for, to play for. So we got to keep hope, because you never know, next week when we record, if it's on a Saturday, we might still, if we win out, have a chance.
And if we do still have a chance, you better believe I will have the tinfoil hat. I'll have starters for who we need to be watching for other teams, what we're watching, who could be the impact players for some of those other teams to give us a chance to make the postseason. And if you want to see that and you want to see it live, you better follow us on all the socials so you know when we're going live. If you have an opinion on anything we've said today, drop it in the comments. We'd love to hear from you guys. And if you enjoyed what we did today, do us a huge favor and drop us a like. Thank you for everybody who's watching, and I hope you enjoyed the show. We really appreciated having all of you with us all season long, and we're going to give you great off-season content too. We're almost there. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe we've got more time. I'm ready to find out. It's going to be fun to find out. And if we do, or if we don't, it's still going to be Raise Up.
Raise Up.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLI Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.